You're listening to BU in the Morning on WTBU, the beat of Boston University. Listen in at WTBUradio.org or on the WTBU Radio app. Call us at 617-353-6400 or send us a message on Spinatron. Also, make sure you're following us at BU in the Morning, WTBU, on Instagram.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
All right. We just listened to a couple songs, starting with, where do we start with? Where It's At by Beck. No.
Where It's At? No, it was the next one.
Beautiful Dreamers, Grant Lee Phillips, Hero Takes a Fall by the Bangles, Anna by Pink Martini, That's the Way of the World, Earth, Wind & Fire, Dublin & Ecstasy, Inhaler, Hit Me Where It Hurts, Caroline Polachek, and Baby Doll by Mariah Carey.
Beautiful. Amazing selections.
Mm-hmm. As per usual. But today, we are joined by a very special guest, Zach. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome, Zach.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here on this fine morning.
Thank you for
we're
being
excited
here.
To have you in the studio.
In this warm studio today.
Very, very warm.
This is our first interview we're doing where everyone, we have all the members of our show here.
So
you're getting
flanked at all sides.
Exactly.
It's awesome.
Wow.
Well, Zach, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here?
Why are you here?
Well, Srishti invited him. That's me.
But. Yes, I was invited, I believe, for liquid fun purposes, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, okay. So for improv comedy purposes. But I'm Zach Schwartz. I'm a senior year. Here at BU. I'm double majoring in journalism and film, and I'm the co-president of Liquid Fun, which is BU's premier comedy improv troupe.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about Liquid Fun and just what improv is for any of our listeners that might be completely unaware? Like a little history lesson.
A little history of improv. I wouldn't say I'm the first expert when it comes to the history of improv, but for people who don't know what improv is, it is a form of acting in which you do not have a script and everything is made up on the spot. It's not just like chaos and entropy. There are rules to it. There are strategies that we employ. But we at Liquid Fun typically tend to go to the comedy improv route, which is, I think, pretty self-explanatory in that, you know, we do jokes and try to make people laugh through improv. And the other question was, what is Liquid?
What is Liquid Fun?
Liquid Fun is one of those organizations that does that. We're in our, what we're calling our 25th year, but is actually probably our 26th or 27th, mm-hmm. but we didn't celebrate our 25th, so we're just kind of going for it right now. We are a troupe that was created in response to audition-based troupes because we want to make and foster a very inclusive comedy world where anyone who has an inclination or an interest in improv and comedy can come and do improv, especially at our open Sundays practices where we just have anyone come and perform and have a fun time. It's very low-key and chill.
For our listeners, I have been one of those people that was inclined to join because I know two people like from before. And so I was going to go just ask them if you guys had any open practices. And then at your show in September, you guys just like open practices. And I was so excited. It does seem like you guys are like really close friends, but I don't think it's like clicky at all.
I'm glad it doesn't come across as clicky. We've really tried to manage that because in years gone by, we've definitely had times where, you know, I think people, especially when I started coming, when I was a Sunday or when I first joined my freshman year, where it was a little scary to go because you just like be there and there was this group of people all having fun. And you were like just interspersed throughout this room, masks on because this was like still COVID-y. So you're just you really didn't know anyone. So we're really trying to like make sure that everyone feels included because, you know, like we are really good friends, but we want to be friends with everyone in that room. And it's like, there's no like power dynamic there.
It's getting warmer for me because it was like, it was scary the first couple of weeks. And now it's like, okay. Like,
I'm glad.
People are people and it's okay. Like I might not be as good as everybody else, but it's fine.
It's like we have such an ability to self-talk as humans in general. I think that's like a natural response to life. It's a way that we've evolved to keep ourselves alive. all of us constantly are second guessing ourselves. Like I think I'm like number one suspect when it comes to like self-doubt. So I think if you feel that way, like that's totally like a normal thing. Like I think within comedy, no one feels like they've got it locked down, no matter what you see on stage or no matter like what skill level they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. when did you get involved with Liquid Fun?
I got involved my second semester, freshman year. I wanted to like get involved the minute I heard of it, but I was scared. And I kept like getting the email notification saying, come to our open practices on Sundays. And I'd say, yeah, I'll go. And then I wouldn't go. And that repeated the entire first semester. And then that happened for January. And then there was just like one random weekend where I kind of forced myself to go. And then a few weeks later, I got an email asking if I wanted to join the performance troupe, and I did. Yeah, no, I actually, one of my best friends from home, she used to go to BU. She was 2 years older than me. And one of her best friends that she made at BU was a part of Liquid Fun. And so, like, I remember my first time going there, and then, like, sparking a conversation about this mutual friend. And so like, it was a little nice way to ease my way into it, right. To be like, I know someone, we have a shared person of knowledge. So that was interesting, but yeah.
Did you have any like experience with improv before, or was coming to be your first?
It was my first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I have performed on stage. Like I done theater since middle school, mm-hmm. But that's not, I wouldn't say anywhere near the same thing. I mean, you'll have your moments where maybe things go wrong and you have to try and improvise. But within improvisational comedy and just like an improv show, you need to be able to build a story and not just like say a one-liner, you know right. what I mean? But yeah, so like I would say this was my true and tried first like experience with improv mm-hmm. when I came to campus.
Nice.
You yeah. did well, oh. seems like a bit.
I tried to.
You worked your way up.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, improv comedy scares me.
It is so scary.
I used to do, like, I did theater in middle school, mm-hmm. and I was doing these, like, one-act plays, and I would have to do a bunch of improv exercises with the group, mm-hmm. and it's just...
Do you remember any of the exercises that they were having you do?
I don't know if this counts as an improv exercise, but it was the one where you are in a circle, and the person in the middle has to make someone on the outside laugh. And then if you
I would cry.
Successfully do that, then you switch place like that.
That's cruel and unusual. We don't do that. That's okay, like,
yeah, no. Close your ears.
That's like, wow. They just like put you there and like make me chuckle, you jester. Like
exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
I
would just
think
be
I would
sitting
cry.
There like so terrified. I couldn't even like look at the person. I was like, I'm not going to laugh. Like I can't go in the middle. So ever since that, I'm like, no, improv is not for me.
I'm sorry that had to be ruined so early. But I promise you, we don't do that at Liquid Fun. We don't force anyone to be in the middle of a circle and make a person laugh. That's yeah. Oof. That makes me uncomfortable.
I feel like Johnny told me once that his class had assignments to write jokes and like make people laugh.
But that's what, we're in that class together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds so scary.
It's a late night laughs class for film and TV mm-hmm. where you write for like late night television and SNL. And we have to do like monologue jokes every week. And so we bring them in and then we have to like say them aloud in the class. So like if it's a bad joke, you'll know it's a bad joke. And it's a great class, but it can be a little mortifying at times.
Yeah. That's nerve-wracking.
Like yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
It sounds
yeah,
like
yeah.
it'll definitely build up your kind of confidence yeah. and like public speaking in a way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there's any way to build your confidence in public speaking, it's by writing jokes and you don't really know how to write jokes and then mm-hmm. saying them in front of an entire class. That's yeah. definitely exposure therapy to the max.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering, did you...
No, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering, like, what does a Liquid show meeting look like? Or, like, I know that you guys have shows, so, like,
yeah.
what would a Liquid show... Or, sorry, Liquid Fun, I'm my bad.
Liquid show, we tend to, like, replace fun with a lot of our things,
a
Liquid show is
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, I'm just using
part of the course.
The slang.
Yeah.
So what would a Liquid Fun show look like?
In terms of, like, preparation, or in terms of, like, the, like, actual show itself?
I mean, whatever you, you know, I, whatever...
well, I mean, in terms of like the day of, We tend to arrive about an hour and a half before the actual performance, mm-hmm. Just so that we can set up the space, kind of get music going. We've, in the last year or so, started incorporating videos for all of our shows to kind of like open it up. We also tend to have an opening act now, which usually we try to get another comedy troupe from a different school because we're trying to build like a comedy network throughout the Boston college scene. So we get there, they come, we kind of prep them on what they're going to do. And then we go to this, like, essentially the green room, which is more just a hallway in the bottom of the GSU.
That works.
We have our little pre-show rituals where we sacrifice, like, a lamb and whatnot, just, like, normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we're supposed to go on at 8. We tend to go on a little later. I mean, if we don't have an opener, I would say we usually go on around like 8:10, 8:15, because we like to like have anyone who wants to come in, the last trickles, to come in and get their seats. And then we perform for about an hour. And the setup of a performance differs from show to show, because we have like two games that we sandwich our shows with that we always keep consistent. We open up with a game called Purple, which is this game with you have four improvisers that you're constantly changing the scenes, you're circling through different scenes. And then we have a kicker game, which is called Sex With Me, which is a pun game. It's very quick and can be a fun time. But in between that, that's kind of free range. And we like to throw in a mix of both long form and short form games, which differ from show to show, because you know you don't want to go to an improv show and see the exact same thing, because you know those games can get old if you're seeing them repeatedly. We have also started incorporating a fully improvised musical. Like a lot of us love to do musicals, so next month, actually, our November show is going to be a fully improvised hour-long musical.
Oh, wow.
So we do one of those each semester. So that's a new thing that'll start to happen. But then after that, after the show, it's just the end of the show. But we they're completely free, so we don't require you to use an Eventbrite. We don't require you to pay anything. You come. We usually have free Liquid Death because we're like sponsored by proxy of mm-hmm. Liquid Death,
sure.
And we give out stickers and koozies, sometimes other things, but. It's, mm-hmm. That's more on a rare occasion that we get other merch.
Yeah. And are there any upcoming events you'd like to tell the people about?
This Friday, we do have a show at 8 p.m. in the basement of the GSU. 8 p.m., come and check it out. It'll be a hoot and a holler and a great way to kick off this first Hollow weekend.
I'll be in the audience, guys.
You'll be in the audience.
I'll be in the audience. Find me. If that's more attractive to you than the show, I'll be there.
You can use it as a networking opportunity to get on this show. You can be like, hey, I heard there's a good fun. I really liked the show, and I was wondering if I could be a guest.
Funniest people I know, guys.
Yeah.
Definitely go.
I'm still stuck on the improv musical.
Yeah.
Please. How is that structured? Is there like a set storyline? Is there like music you just make on the spot?
Grey's Anatomy musical times.
So the way that we set this up is we have an amazing pianist, Riley, who we've been working with for the past like couple of years, and he's also a senior at BU. And so we'll practice with them for a couple weeks leading up to our musicals usually. And he can improvise certain songs on the piano. He can just like come up with certain chords, certain feels. And so the entire music, we don't have a structure. The structure that we have is it's similar to a different game that we have, which by structure, I just mean we have different plots that we know we have to be cognizant of, but we don't plan the plots. We don't say how long certain scenes should last. We don't say who should be in the main things. It's just like we're going straight forward and we're figuring out who's going to be the leads, who's going to be the comedic relief and whatnot. We have our ensemble where we'll do like dance breaks and whatnot. It's fully improvised. To sit like long-winded way to say like we don't plan pretty much any of it other than knowing that there should be a general structure that makes a plot legible, if that makes sense.
That sounds awesome and scary.
It's honestly, I think a lot of us are so inclined to just like want to break out in songs sometimes that it feels a little more comforting because you can really go off the rails. You know, within traditional like comedic improv, at least my philosophy is like you want to have it crazy, but you want to have it like toned down. Like you want it to be like, well, these are weird characters, these are weird plots, but you want it to make sense and you want it to be clever. You don't want just like people yelling all the time, you know? And with, I think, an improv musical, you can supplement your yelling with singing. So we use it as a better outlet to channel our more brash tendencies, I would say. So it's honestly more comforting at times to do an improvised musical.
Wow. I feel like not a lot of people would say that they were comfortable with just.
I also think it's just like
things.
I mean,
in public.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like and people who've, I guess I can't really speak to it because I'm not in the audience.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a lot of things with improv is like if you just transcribed what an improv scene was and like had people act it out, it would not be as funny because part of the humor comes from that bit of like, oh, this is all being made up on the spot. Like that's a lot of the entertainment value is like, oh my God, this is happening right now, right? Like that's fun. That's cool. And so just to like watch people try to do a musical and start singing is just like, even if it's bad, which I won't say it's bad. Like we do a decent job. But even if it's not like phenomenal, if it's not one of the best scenes ever, it's entertaining because you're watching people try to do a musical off the top of their head. So it's like, I think that's also the comforting thing is like, we know that even if it's not the strongest of scenes or if we're not doing the best, most textbook improv scenes, there will be entertainment to it.
Yeah, no, you guys are funny for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been to a few shows.
Oh yeah,
it's a good time.
Oh, I'm glad.
And I've never really been to an improv comedy show before Liquid Fun.
Yeah.
Or since. Yeah. So it's always been a good time.
My first show that I'd seen of Liquid Fun was after I had become part of I had gone to any of the shows before.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I should have gone to the shows before.
The first time I went to your guys' show, I knew kind of what improv was, but at the same time I was like, did they like talk about this and are they just like doing this here to like act like they don't know what they're doing, or is it just fully not planned?
But it's so impressive, it really
is. It's very impressive.
I think we'll every now and again we'll sprinkle in like an inside joke with one another. Like I have a character that I'll tend to do that we've coined as Sawyer, who is like a little guy who talks like this, and he gets pretty intense when he gets competitive and when people get in his way. And so like, I'll go into that. I guess no one can see it if you're listening, but like I do a thing with my hand, and so that cues people in, and people hate that character so much that like it instantly shuts down a scene where people are like, no, get out. And that's kind of like a fun thing to sprinkle in on a very rare occasion.
Yeah.
But no, besides those like stupid little like inside jokes, everything is I mean, even those inside jokes, like it's not like we plan like I'm gonna do this. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, let me sprinkle this in there.
Mm-hmm. You know? Okay, isn't that what like you guys were saying on like Sunday?
Yeah.
If you plan it out, it doesn't work out well or something.
Well, yeah, I think that's like the biggest thing that I struggle with and that I'm always working towards, and I think most people work towards, is like improv. It's going to inhibit you, but it is a comforting thing, especially when you're starting out or when you're just doing it, to think about where you want a scene to go or how a scene should flow, or like you get locked into an idea. But that is going to break the momentum of a scene very quickly because the other people, you know, we try to be on like a similar wavelength, but they're not going to be able to mind read. You know, you cannot think one-to-one what everyone is thinking.
Yeah.
So if you have a set idea and someone else has another set idea, you're going to clash and that scene's going to falter. Even if you say something funny, like what I'm really trying to emphasize this year is like, you can have a funny scene and you can do something funny even if those things are clashing. I would rather a scene be not as funny, but it flow and there be like a cohesive nature to the plot than there just be like a funny one-off joke. Because then you can keep a scene going and that can provide more funny things later on, or it can provide inspiration for things later on. And it's very easy to get into the habit of getting locked into your idea. I remember doing that a lot because it was comforting, especially when, I still am not confident in my own abilities, but especially when I was starting out and I didn't have that confidence, any confidence, it gave me some sense of comfort, but it tends to make it harder on yourself because you can't be as present in the scene. my best scenes, the scenes that I've loved doing the most, are the ones that I tend to start forgetting that I'm in a scene at all. And I start just like going off of what my friends are saying, what the people in the scene are doing, because you're not thinking about what's next. You're like, oh my God, this is just fun. We're riffing. I read this in a book, and I think it's one of the best ways to describe how to do improv ever. And it's like, improv is trying to drive a car through looking through the rear view mirror. So you're not looking at what's ahead, but you're looking at what has been. And you're using that to inspire the way to go forward, which I guess in real life wouldn't be a great way to drive, because then you can't, it's not like mirrored, but the metaphor works.
Hence the metaphor.
Yeah, the metaphor works, yeah.
No,
please, okay. Go ahead.
Now I've just had so many questions.
I know.
But, because it's just like, I feel like you've raised a lot of interesting stuff. Mm. So like, what makes like a good performance or a performer? Like, what do you like to see?
I think that's very subjective, you know? It completely depends from person to person, performer to performer, audience to audience. Like, we'll have shows at other colleges that sometimes flop because it's not our audience, you know? Sometimes people aren't primed. It really depends. But I would say that what I like to do is, like, I think you can have scenes that aren't rooted in the fundamental rules of improv be funny. But if you work those rules, if you work the ground rules of what makes a scene like flow in a good way, even you can like tweak the rules, of course, and you can break a little out of them. But if you're trying to keep to helping out your scene partners, those are the scenes that I love to see. The ones that aren't just funny because people are saying crazy, like they aren't just like they're being zany characters, but because they say something clever or because they say something like, oh my God, you set that up. It was like the best, like an alley-oop. Like there are scenes that you'll do and things within scenes that you'll do that will make an audience clap. And that's when you know it's really good, because there's laughter, and I love laughter. But when people clap, that's like, oh, you did something clever. Mm-hmm. You did something that was like, oh my God, how did you think of that? That was like a great thing. Those are the scenes that I love to see. And I think if you practice the fundamental rules of improv, and if you really try to get yourself out of your own head as best you can, it's impossible to get fully out of your own head. Mm-hmm. And if you're working towards being the best scene partner that you can be, not the funniest you can be, but the best partner, working towards making your other scene partners look funny, that's going to make a better scene. That's going to make the best scene, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the expert on improv by no means. But I would say like, that's what I prioritize. And that's what I would like more, when I watch improv.
Something that I feel like I've been confused about a little bit, maybe you can help now, is how much do you include yourself in the characters? Because at the end of the day, any jokes you make or comments are going to be based off of what you have learned as a person about certain things. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, you can't, like, I'm in a public speaking club for CDS, and we're like, we do table topics where you just pick up a card, a random question, and you have to talk about it for 2 minutes. That's easy because I'm talking from a Srushti perspective. But then here, you just have to pretend to be someone else. But how much is the someone else? Like, what's the extent of it?
Well, you know, it truly depends. You can get lost in a character. And one of the other pieces of advice that I've seen and read is play to the top of your intelligence. And that doesn't mean to be smart, but it means know your character and know what they would know. And also, like, you can't expect and put the pressure on yourself to know everything, to say everything, but like to like just have like an encyclopedia of knowledge. Mm-hmm. You can't have that. No one can have that.
Yeah.
It's very easy to see what people come up with and be like, why didn't I come up with that? Well, it's because that's not the niche that you fill in terms of your areas of knowledge. You may know something that person doesn't know.
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of bringing to the table what you know. And when you're in a character, thinking about like, what would inspire them? It's like a very like oddly rudimentary like in theater, like what would your character actually think about? It's like character work.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say like when you're in a scene, think about it heavy, but when you start to lose yourself to a scene, it's like it becomes subconscious, where if you're doing a loony character, it's not a matter of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when I'm doing a character, when I'm doing like that guy, that Sawyer, I don't think about like what I know. I start thinking about what Sawyer would know. Like, this is like, in my mind, he's a little kid who loves to be the best at everything. And so he's like, what would a kid like that do? You know, let's say he's like on a quiz show.
Yeah.
He's not going to know the answers, and that's fine. It's a matter of like just trying to throw something out there. So I wouldn't say like worry about being fully you. I mean, you bring in your own knowledge and you bring in your experiences, no doubt. And I think that's important, and it'll make a scene funny. Mm-hmm. But don't get like worried about whether or not you're being too much of you or too much of another character. It's whatever the character requires, I guess. Yeah. I don't know if that really helps.
That makes more sense than it previously had.
Okay. As long as it makes more sense. I don't know if that really clarified it fully, but yeah.
I feel like you just like need more practice. And I feel like
everyone does. Everyone needs practice. I mean, improv is one of those things where like if you're not getting your reps in, it's hard to like fully just keep going. You need to keep doing it, you know? This semester has been a tough one for me because I have a class on Thursday, which is one of the days we practice, so I just fully can't make it to those. Yeah. And now on our Sunday practices, I'm mostly leading them with Wes, the other president. And I'm purposefully not going into the scenes because I want other people to have those opportunities to do improv, to get their scenes to practice. So I'm not getting as much time to practice. And, you know, I wish I were. Because it's one of those things where like you just need to keep doing it to like think about what went well, to recognize like maybe like, oh my God, I did this. I wasn't maybe like the best scene partner in this scene. And the only way you can start to recognize some of these things is by reps. I feel like that, you know, goes with everything in life. It's just reps.
Do you think how much the audience knows you and like your typical like comedy style affects how they perceive your shows?
I don't know. I would say like our audiences are definitely full of our friends, you know, like that's undoubtedly so. But it's also a bunch of people who don't have any idea who we are. So I don't know. Are you saying like, do you think the entertainment value comes from knowing us essentially, or like our sense of humor?
Do you, because not even you personally, but let's say like someone's watching it for the first time, like they've seen improv before, but just not you guys. And then they know like, oh, Zach does this certain thing and Zach talks this certain way.
Yeah.
He's good at this thing. Mm-hmm. And like when you're kind of looking forward to also that and you kind of stick to whatever you're doing, if that could like add to like how they, like how much they enjoy it.
I see. So it's like we like do something funny and then there's a response, and so we like tend to do that same thing a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a phenomenon that happens, and I'm someone who definitely has subscribed to that in the past and has done that. I think what I'm trying to work on, especially this year, is of course like bringing characters that I'm comfortable with and doing things that I know that I am a little more strong on, that I like to do, that can be funny. But the beauty of improv is that it's an environment where you can constantly be trying new things. And so while there is, I think there is humor in bringing back characters and bringing back the same bits that you do, that always comes with a grain of salt. You know, you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to keep doing the same things because it might still get a bunch of laughs. Like, I get that. Like, like you can keep repeating, and we have audiences that are new each show. And quite frankly, there are bits that are repeated that are just funny. But I feel like at a certain point, you know, just on the improviser's level, it's like it can get a little boring. You know, you want new scenes. You want to try new things out. You want to have different interactions. You don't want to, like, for example, if we're, like, more prone to be fighting with certain other improvisers, it's like, let's try something else. Or if we're certain, like I someone told me that I was, like, I tend to, like, do these older mythical, like, characters, and that like tends to be a thing that I gravitate towards in scenes. Like, I don't want to overdo that. I don't want to constantly fill that role because then we're doing the same dynamic. And it might be funny, but and on a personal level, I'm not growing and I'm not learning something new. I'm not trying to experiment, because the scary part of improv comedy and just improv in general is that you will fail and you will flop. And that's the most important thing for growing. Like, you have to do that.
Yeah.
And if you're in a show, like, there will be, like, scenes where you're not constantly having everything land, where you're not adding a lot, where you're not doing everything great.
Mm-hmm.
But that experimentation's key, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to break out of your same habits or break out of those same characters or those same dynamics. Because if you're not practicing anything, it goes back to the reps thing.
Yeah.
You're just going to get caught in that cycle.
I feel like the growth thing you said was like very important.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm wondering, kind of going along with that, have you noticed since doing improv, kind of applying that to other areas of your life within academics or other areas, and how, because I feel like improvisation in general is such a...
It like, the translates into improv is like, yeah.
Yeah, and also just like, it seems like a very important skill, honestly, to just have.
It's one of those things where like, at least in my opinion, you would expect to be like, oh yeah, I started doing improv and it translated into this one-to-one-to-one-to-one. But I think it's had a lot of, a much more abstract impact on my life. I mean, yeah. But I think, like, socially, it's changed me. I think it opens me up. It's allowed me to become more vulnerable. And I'd say, within classes and, like, doing homework, I think being able to recognize that not everything has to be perfect, and that it's not, and things not being perfect aren't a sign, it's not a sign of you being a failure. It's a sign of you trying to grow or trying something new, or also just having like an off day, you know? I think improv allows you to like recognize that not everything can be perfect 100% of the time. And you should not hold that expectation on yourself. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's like the best answer about how it translates into real life, but it's had a significant impact. I think maybe the most significant impact in my college career is because of Liquid Fun. Like it is done a lot.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's got to, because you're just more comfortable talking about anything. Like you're doing that right now. You're
yeah. Well, life is improv. You're constantly having conversations that are all, you know, you don't. Prepping everything, even if you prep some things like the pizza, phone call, whatever.
Exactly. I feel like that's how my public speaking club, it always helps me with that, because I mean, I'm a yapper, I can talk about anything, but just being able to talk without using too many fillers, without and being able to just think about something very fast and responding is, I think it's a super important skill that applies literally anywhere.
Definitely true. Yeah. And I would say there's like an interesting thing within improv that, you know, we tend to think like you have to be like a fast thinker, but there are also people that tend to have like more of a slow burn and will think a little, that aren't like immediately snappy, but that's okay. And I think those skills are very important too. And I think that's a beautiful thing that it's taught me, is that like people bring different skills to the table, you know, and have different abilities. And just because they have different abilities doesn't mean someone's behind, but it means someone comes from a different area and a different perspective. And so it's a matter of like that cross-section between everyone's abilities and everyone's skills. That's a beautiful thing, not having to emulate every single person's abilities, you know.
What do you do? This is going back to like, so, okay. I've noticed that there's sometimes people will make jokes about some things. Like, let's say you're in a scene and I talk about a random topic that you have never heard of.
Yeah.
And like, you just don't know where to go from there. Yeah. What do you do then? Do you just pick something else and pivot? Or
no.
No.
I mean, well, it depends on what you consider, like, picking something else and pivoting. But if someone endows something, as we'd say, or if someone gives you a gift, or someone says something, if this is the scene, the last thing you should do is say, I don't know this, so I'm just going to bring the scene in a different direction. You play, like, almost back to that conversation of you play to the top of your intelligence. You go with what you know. And if you don't know anything, there's humor in that. There's a lot of humor in not knowing. Like, I know I can, on a personal level, I can get insecure about if I miss, like, a pop culture reference, or if I don't quite understand everything, or if I'm not, like, in the know about one specific thing. And, like, and they bring that into a scene, right? It is funny to recognize that you don't know that and try to pretend like you do, or if your character doesn't know it, go off of it. But like, you can do so many things with improv that are so much fun. You can literally take it in any direction. so long as you're not denying or just like pivoting because you're uncomfortable, if that makes sense. Like the your response to something that you don't know shouldn't be, I'm going in a different direction. It should be, I'm going to take this head on and apply whatever I possibly can, you know, even if I'm not an expert on it or I know nothing of it, if that makes sense.
Would you let the audience kind of know if you don't know, like in a tactic kind of way, like, oh, I'm switching to something else, but not really.
I would say more often, like 99% of the time, avoid a tongue-in-cheek, like turn to the audience. Like that is like, there is humor in that, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But it can be very tiresome and it can happen quite a lot. And it's something that I remember doing, and a lot of people, when you first start, it's like, an easy way to like get a laugh. Like I can't blame anyone for wanting to do that.
Yeah.
It still happens sometimes because there are moments that definitely allow it. But I would say you can still cue the audience in through your character, if you don't know it and your character doesn't know it, your character can like basically like show that they don't know it, and that's them cueing you in. It's hard to like exactly explain it, but there are ways you can do, you can like essentially communicate to the audience that you don't know everything without having to like turn to the audience and say, I don't know this, or like, I remember, but it's like, try and communicate it in a clever way that doesn't break the flow of a scene or the environment, in the believability of the scene.
Yeah.
You know?
Just as a closing question.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice?
Sorry.
Something just fell, I don't know. Do you have any advice for anybody who may be, you know, on the fence about joining Liquid Fun?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah. I think my advice, because that was me, you know, I was that person, is just show up. Because at the end of the day, it's an incredibly inclusive environment, and one that wants as many people to come. We want to invite anyone who has any interest in doing improv. And we're really working towards, you know, making sure that people can learn. And if you want to learn, you can learn. If you want to just watch improv, you can come to just watch. If you want to come and not, you know, and do maybe some improv, but more use it as a social environment to talk to people who have similar interests, who like this comedy realm, use it for that. So my advice is just show up, because we're not going to force anyone to do anything. You know, like the most we'll make you do is introduce yourself and maybe participate in an energy game. But that's not improv.
I feel like that's the scariest part.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
An example of an energy game.
So scary.
Something called Wiz, and you stand in a circle, and it can be scary because sometimes people take it really dramatically. But it's basically, what it should be is you just pass a word around, and you just like. Someone starts with whiz, you go wah wah, and like you just like kind of take whatever first thought comes to mind and you just say it out loud. It's just to like kind of match it. Sometimes people will take that and use it into characters, and I honestly think we should probably bring that back. But even in that case, like even if you really don't want to do something like that energy game, we're not going to force you to do that either if you're really uncomfortable. You know, you do what you're comfortable doing. So come check it out. Come do what you want to do. And if you don't want to do anything, don't. Just come and hang. Just have a fun time.
I think there's beauty in being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh, no kidding.
Because, like,
that's how you grow.
Yeah, like, like I said, it was so scary when I first came in, like, the first couple of weeks. Like, I'm still scared because you guys are really good and all of that. But I feel like I'm getting a little more comfortable with, like, knowing what I'm supposed to do or what I can do with my intelligence and use it in the improvisational skill method way.
Yeah. It's about bringing out your personal performer, not becoming anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Well, all right. We are kind of running a little bit out of time.
No worries.
Coming to the end. But thank you so, so much for coming
on
to the show.
Anything
you
coming. Final things that anything you want to plug?
Show coming up.
Well, we have a show
Friday.
Coming up, as mentioned, this Friday, 8 p.m., basement of the GSU. We have another show on November 15th. And we have a show December 8th or something. It's on our Instagram, LiquidFunBU, if you want to go follow or check it out. We have all the show dates posted there. And that's usually where we give updates on when we're having a Sundays practice, which is every Sunday in CESB 36, in case there's like some weird extenuating circumstance. And then...
And anyone can show up?
Anyone can show up.
Okay.
Anyone.
So I brought two friends this
from, weekend.
From
7 to 9 p.m. And yeah, follow us. Come check us out. We table every on the Fridays of our shows. And come say hi. Come hang out and have a fun time.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll be sure to check out a show coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you would be a good guest.
All right. We will see you all on Thursday.
Bye, guys.
10 to 12.
Yep.
To
12.
Bye. Toodles.
Bye.